Hey, welcome to The Atomic Weight of Cheese with your hosts, Mike Bakalvin, Chad Plambeck, and Steph Romansky.
Are there any other movies this season you want to see?
Besides Cats, for all the wrong reasons?
Okay, God, I don't...
I don't know what else is coming out.
When's 1917 coming out?
That's coming out in a couple days.
Oh, Benedict.
So it's like, yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that one. That one looks really good. It's like I don't mind that the, you know, it's not actually one shot, you know? It's like,
I don't mind that I'm probably have to go to Lincoln to see it, but, you know.
I bet you it comes here. I hope it comes here. Either way, it's in the shitty theater. Yeah. Bring it to the Widman.
Yeah. Well, they had the poster there. Mm-hmm. They did, like, coming soon, so I was like, fine, I'll wait to go there.
And what was at the Grand this weekend?
Tubman. Or Harriet.
That was last weekend, wasn't it?
No, it's that Ferrari.
Ford versus Ferrari.
I liked it.
I hadn't seen it. I'd like to see it. Maybe I'll go see it Thursday. You know, that Matt Damon, he's done some good stuff.
It's another one of those movies that it felt too long, but it's like, I'm damned if I could tell you where to cut.
You know, that guy's movies, what's his name? James Mangold. Okay. He did The Wolverine. Okay. And Logan, both those movies, and it's like, I felt that both of us, like, yeah, it just feels a little long, but I can't tell you how.
Yeah.
Or why exactly.
Yeah, too. It was like, you got Matt Damon, Christian Bale, two pretty good actors just going at it, and it's really, because like, I don't know if like, to spoil too much, but it's this great scene where they're fighting in front of, like, Christian Bale's house, and his wife comes out, and she doesn't stop it. She just basically brings a lawn chair, sets the lawn chair down, sits down, has her soda, and is just kind of watching them beat the shit out of each other for 10 minutes. It's like, this is great.
Are you done, boys?
Exactly. It's like, whatever, let it go. Let it out, boys. Let it all out.
Speaking of which, welcome to the Atomic Weight of Cheese, where real life is cult cinema. Cult cinema is frequently real life. I'm Mike.
And Steph.
That's where that went. I've been looking for that book forever. God damn it. Sorry. Anyway, yes.
What book?
I was like looking for my Alan LeMay's The Searchers. Anyway.
Sorry. Oh, there it is. It's right over there.
It's like, what is that?
I never know what your thing is going to be. Sorry. Against your name.
I think that's sort of a thing. I never say who I am. It's like some random whatever's in my head. So it was like, I just saw that. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I was looking for that. Anyway.
I'm the guy who wants to go see Cats for the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons. It's like, I know it's terrible. I don't care. I'm going to go.
All right. Well, we tried to save it for the podcast, but we couldn't really. But we'll be doing some recap. Boys and girls, we have all seen the rise of Skywalker. And we all have thoughts.
Episode 9.
the new
is in German. Episode no.
the trilogy is done. J.J. Abrams has done his thing. Ugh. And we're going to dive into it.
I have questions!
And maybe we start with the conditions in which we see the movie, because I can tell you I still have chills about the first time I saw The Phantom Menace, because it was a giant Star Wars party.
Sure,
the movie wasn't that good, but I left there feeling really, you know, had a really good time, because everyone was there and it was a Star Wars party, which is fine, which is a good thing to be. So tell us about the conditions in which you saw the movie.
Me? Oh,
yeah.
We went a Saturday afternoon to matinee, my daughter and I, and it was packed, and it was at Chad's favorite cinema, the AMC.
Mall Stadium 7.
Stadium 7.
And I was worried, because we got there and there were hardly any seats, so we had to sit off to the side, which I don't like to do. Yeah. And anyway, so I'm like, oh God, and I'm surrounded by kids, and I'm like, oh my God. Everyone in that theater was silent throughout the movie.
Great.
and only made noise when you were supposed to make
good
noise.
Good as gold. That's
gasps,
good.
Laughs,
good.
And... You know, yeah. And the kid next to me had to be 9 or 10 and kept doing force movements with his hands during
awesome.
The movie. And I'm like, oh my God, this kid's going to have this memory, you know, for the rest of his life. And
man, that's almost as awesome as that scene at the end of The Last Jedi where that kid moves the mop with his never mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it yet. Okay, so real quick, I went to the Widman in Central City, a wonderful volunteer-run theater. And it was probably about 3/4 full. Wasn't all the way full.
Okay.
We had no trouble finding seats, and I munched my Red Hots and had a fine old time in a good theater. Sat all the way up in the top where we did when we saw Avengers. It was
nice.
Very good. So no complaints on my end. Chad, how about you?
Well, I knew school hadn't let out for Christmas break yet, so it's like, okay, get your crap together, and I'm going to go see the 11 o'clock show at my beloved Stadium 7. But I got in there was like a huge line and a huge crowd, and I was like, because it was almost showtime, and it's like, you're never going to get a seat. The hell with it. I'll wait, see it later. So I got some egg rolls and I went home. And then I posted that online, and then your wife chimed in and said, you guys are going to the Widman.
We did.
And it's like, okay, maybe I'll come join you. And I got online, and it's like, oh, I don't know if I have any tickets left. But then I saw they had a late show. over there, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to go do that one. And I think it turned out to be a good decision because there was maybe 10 other people in the theater, but they were like all these high school dudes. There wasn't a girl in the theater. And I was like, oh, this, I don't know if this is going to be good. It's like, are they going to be obnoxious to the whole thing? It's like, nope, they were all nerds, and they were all tuned in. And it was, like you said, it was a ton of fun, and it was good. And that theater is so awesome. The sound is so awesome.
Oh, man.
When the Star Destroyers come up, and your theater is just vibrating, and it's like, holy crap, this is great.
Yep.
And so, but then the movie started.
Okay.
And
so, real quick, before we get there, two things. One of them is we are going to spoil the hell out of this movie. Yeah. So if you haven't seen The Rise of Haas and Pfeffer, don't go see or don't listen to the rest of the podcast.
Or listen
I
call
to
it The Rise of Sasquatch, and someone got mad at me because they thought there was an actual Bigfoot movie coming out, and it's like, I blame Autocorrect.
The other thing, real quick, before we dive into this, because I think this is important, let's give our real quick thumbnail sketch on what you thought about the trilogy up until this far. And by the trilogy, I mean J.J. Abrams' The Force Awakens and Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi. Going into it, what were you thinking?
I was just thinking, yay, another Star Wars movie to get to watch in the theater.
That's cool.
Does
Disney have a deal for you?
Yeah. And I'm a sucker for it. Yeah. But I'm a surface dweller when it comes to these movies. I am not a deep dive fangirl, analyze it to death kind of person, and so it wasn't my problem. Yeah. It wasn't a problem for me.
We're going to spend the next 45 minutes telling you why that was a good
idea. And it's going to bother the crap out of me.
No, not at all. It's like, I think I'm almost envious of that. And it's like, sometimes there's some things I just wish I could detach myself from a little more, but...
Yep. I thought The Force Awakens was a great opening. Yep. Like a super-duper good opening. I thought Oh, God, here it comes. I'm a fan of The Last Jedi.
Okay.
I liked it.
I
thought the democratization of the Force is the best thing Star Wars has done since 1980. I think the getting away from the goddamn Skywalkers and just saying that, yes, Rey is nobody. She, you know, was the best turn they could have done. I really enjoyed that part, and then we'll get to it. But I really thought J.J. Abrams knocked it out of the park with The Force Awakens. I thought The Last Jedi was good but had its problems.
Do you remember how nervous you were going into that movie?
Yep, I do.
I was so nervous going into The Force Awakens, but holy crap. I think I wound up seeing that like 6 or 7 times in the theater because I loved it that much.
It was a great opening.
And I thought Rey was like the greatest thing to happen to this franchise since, you know, Empire Strikes Back, since Yoda showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't the biggest fan of The Last Jedi, and it's not necessarily any decisions Johnson made. Well, some things. It's like I have some script issues. But mostly the movie, I just thought it was horribly paced, badly edited. I thought the Rey through line was good, but I thought the Poe thing was stupid.
Yes, the Poe thing was stupid.
And I thought the Finn and Rose section was a complete waste of time.
Yep.
And so it's just like wheel spinning, and basically from the beginning of that movie to the end of that movie, what happened? Did anything happen?
Well,
except a lot of people died.
Yeah.
And so,
and not to spoil it, but that was my critique coming out of the third one. When we left, you know, I turned to my wife and I said, what was that about?
Well,
what would you say? It's like, what would you say happened in this movie?
You know, I just you know, one of the major beefs that I've been reading online is basically
here we go.
And I don't know, we're probably gonna do Plover, but like one of the biggest bitches that I've seen online is how the character Rose Tico got thrown under the bus.
Yeah,
essentially.
That too.
And
yeah.
So, and
she,
it basically
she might not even, you know,
and it basically said she'd been reduced to a glorified drive-by. It's like, well, I got news for you. Everybody in this movie is a glorified drive-by.
Pretty much,
because it's like breakneck, and it's like, the thing that reminded me most of when I was in my teens through this 4-H thing, we went to Washington D.C. and we did this night tour of all the monuments and attractions. And while that sounds like a great idea,
I cannot wait to see where this is going.
When you're driving down the road at, you know, 40, 50 mile an hour, and it's like, there's the Jefferson Memorial. It's like, what? And, oh, there's Lincoln. There's Washington Monument. And it's like, what? And they're, like, pointing everywhere. And they don't really stop to look at anything. Because it's just go, 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 go. And I think that was on purpose, because if you sit down and think about what is going on, it's like, this doesn't make any sense.
It does not
make any sense at all.
Okay.
So
my big takeaway walking out is I had the same feeling, and it took me a couple hours to figure out what it was, but it was the exact same feeling I had watching the end of Lost. Because Lost, of course, another J.J. Abrams joint, left not just episodes, but seasons of TV on the table. Mm-hmm. It's like you could have cut out two seasons of that entire show and it not have made a difference because they weren't really telling a story. They were doing a thing. Ew. And that thing is, ooh, gubble, 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 you know, with good characters. And it tried to pivot and become a character-driven show, but didn't quite get there. So it was satisfying in, like, the most surface level, but... I remember watching a video where it's like, here's all our unanswered questions. And it was just someone rattling off questions for 20 goddamn minutes. Well, and that's how I feel about The Rise of Skywalker is they just left so much. And didn't even left so much, but they didn't even pay off any of the promises they made in the first movie.
Well, in the first movie, and two, you know, we're going to get into this later too. You know, a lot of it was basically a middle finger toward the second movie.
It really was.
And
J.J. Abrams has gone on record. It's like, no, when Luke said, you got to treat these things with respect, that wasn't a middle finger. It was a middle finger.
That was Mark Hamill's middle finger to Ryan Johnson,
Come on, man.
And, but
I have eyes and ears.
I didn't hate it.
Okay, let's say what we liked about it. How about that?
I didn't hate it. There's parts of it that I really like, but to me, it's like there was one decision made that it's like, nope, I'm out.
What was it?
Ray's parentage.
Oh, yeah.
That's so stupid.
Ugh. Ugh.
That's so stupid. Ugh. And two, it's like the fan service and pandering in this movie, just like, oh, just stop.
I saw a Twitter thing the other day that said, isn't it great to live in a world where canonically Emperor Palpatine fucks?
Ta-da! That was a mental image I did not need.
Are you sure they're not cousins or something? You know, it's never really established. Ta-da! It's just a Palpatine.
He had a son who was like the... Anyway.
It could be his sister's kids. I mean, come on!
Okay, we started off coming in hot. Let's talk about some of the things we liked. Steph, we're all going to go around. What did you like about the show?
I liked... The more I hate that I'm thinking about
it
now.
Don't worry about it.
Because now I'm like, I was going to go with them.
Don't think. Just go.
Kylo Ren, Ben Solo's redemption arc.
Adam Driver is a national treasure.
He is amazeballs. But now that I'm like, but why did I care? You know, why? See? What connection did Ben Solo have with Han and Leia that... missed all that. There needed to be more exposition.
Right. And the thing is, and that's one of the worst things about that, is because I don't think, because as written with that character, there was nothing really in the first one. Well, the first one was just set up, but then the second one, there is nothing that shows me that there's anything redeemable in him.
But you know what was shocking to me? When he made that one leap at the end and landed on those chains or something and then said, ow. Like, you know, I laughed, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why would I think that's funny? Because I have no idea what Ben Solo was like before this big turn. He just kind of came into it when he was already dark.
Yeah.
And now he's light, and I'm supposed to care he's actually kind of a funny guy.
They didn't,
you know?
Like I said, they did a terrible job of establishing him at all.
Yeah. Well, while we're landing on it, it's almost like they had plans. Like, can anyone tell me what the Knights of Ren are?
No idea, but
I'm not reading the fucking book!
Well, that was the thing. It's like he landed at one point in the middle of them, and they were all beating the crap out of him, and then he got a lightsaber, and he's like, ha-ha! And it's like, well, this might have some emotional resonance if we knew who the hell his gang was, or if you told us a little bit about his gang. Anyway, what did you like about it?
Sorry. Well, I'm told my coworker, who is, like, an uber Star Wars fan, Miss Carissa, our videographer.
Okay, sure.
Said that she read somewhere that the Knights of Ren, like in an article, not a book or something, that they were other kids from Luke Skywalker's camp of Jedi.
Well, that makes sense.
But I thought they were all killed, so I don't.
So they all turn?
Yeah, I'm like, did he turn? I mean, when did he turn? Because I have so many questions now.
So not only is
Luke... Star Wars fans ruin everything. It's true.
So not only is Luke bad, but he's like exceptionally bad. Okay, all right. All right, I'll throw some things I liked about the movie, because the first thing I said to Chad when I came in the door was, it made me cry, but I still didn't like it. Okay,
what cried?
Okay, here's where it got me, and this drives me nuts, because it got me when Poe was like, "Oh, I've made a mistake. We're all gonna die," and they're flying around and the Star Destroyers that came out of the ocean,
the Earth
was in.
He conjured them.
Anyway, so he's flying around. All the Resistance is getting shot up, and. He said, "Oh man, I thought we had a chance." They turn around, Lando flies the Falcon in. It's ILM saying, "We're throwing everything in there. There are a million ships," and they blast the Star Wars theme. And it's like, "Damn it, I'm not made of stone." You got Lando Calrissian is in the Millennium Falcon, and they're blaring the stuff. Yes, you got me. You got me, Uncle. Yeah. You know, and it was a great. That was the end was pretty rousing. You know,
the thing that this whole trilogy.
Yes.
You know, everybody was bitching about the first one because, it's just a pastiche of Star Wars. It's Star Wars all over
again. Which is true.
And the second one, they said, fine and Danny, okay, we'll try something to do something different. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not Star Wars! Yeah. And so the third one kind of felt like everyone was throwing it up at their hands and just, all right, let's just throw everything at the wall.
What do you people want?
What do you want?
And that is the nut. That is the thing, because I read a really good thing where someone said, imagine if Disney's lesson from the success of Iron Man was, let's make more Iron Man movies, and maybe Obadiah Stane isn't dead, and Pepper Potts gets her own movie, and that electric arm was really funny, can we do a cartoon series, instead of taking chances and branching out. And that's what I liked about The Last Jedi, is it took some chances with these, the whole thing, like with the sacred text and Yoda burning him, was screw this. Yeah. This was the old, we're doing something different, we're trying something new. And even now Marvel's in a corner where they can't continue to make the same movie over and over again, and they needed to do something different. And not only did they regress, but they gave a metal finger to the idea of regression, and now we're stuck with Star Wars pastiches until the end of time. That's what's gonna happen.
Well, I think this thing to me, I did not to say what I like, because there was a lot of things that I liked.
Yes,
I love these characters.
Oh, the characters are so good.
The chemistry with these characters deserve better. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, through the whole, because to me, and we talked about this a little bit before, but this thing was kind of doomed from the start, from conception, because whose idea was it to do three movies to tell one story, but you have three different, originally, three mm-hmm. different directors, three different script writers, so there's no consistency, yeah. There's no continuity, and there's no one running the show except the committee headed by Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And between this mess and that whole Solo fiasco,
whew,
she kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like I said, this is what, you talk about the Marvel Universe, this is what the Marvel Universe would look like without Kevin Feige.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Because you got someone in charge who's keeping everybody in line. It's like, do your own thing, but hey, we have an end goal.
Mm-hmm.
Stay on target.
Yep.
And pardon me, but yeah. So, loosen up! But, it's just like, how... We're lucky that they're this coherent.
it could be worse, and then
totally inconsistent from 1 to 2 to 3, and it's like, well, yeah, no shit, because you got two different. It's two, because who's supposed to direct it before?
Oh, it was going to be
Trevorrow?
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow, the mastermind.
Why did he get booted?
Two reasons. One of them is because he did the Jurassic Park reboots, right?
Okay.
Jurassic World, Jurassic World 2, which, oh man, that was not a good movie.
No.
Right about the time when everyone was pointing out the big flaws in the first Jurassic World, the running in heels, and, Jurassic World made money, but, like, people were like, I feel a little dirty about it. I think that was kind of my perception. He made a movie called The Book... Oh, God. I need to look this up.
I know what you're talking about.
The Book of something, like The Book of Oscar or The Book of Elliot or some kids. No, that was
Denzel Washington.
Yeah. This was...
I tried.
It was a good shot.
Yeah. Because I almost said, Eli. No, that's
whatever this movie was, it was so monumentally misguided. It got like a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was one of those
movies. Oh, is this the one where the kid engineers the murder?
Yes, this is that one.
Okay.
And it was apparently, I never saw it, but it was apparently so bad that it lost him the role, or lost him the part in the next Star Wars movie.
Wow.
I'm like, that's got to be a pretty terrible movie to get fired from a job you had.
So when are you guys going to make me watch it?
No, I'm not going to watch it. But anyway, because to me, it's like, I think the whole thing could have been better served, and I don't know why they just knew this from the beginning, is keep Kasdan on and let Abrams do all three, and let Rian Johnson go do his own Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Because I think him doing his own Star Wars thing in the same vein like The Mandalorian, I think would be freaking amazing.
Me too.
But him coming in the second one saying his whole subverting expectations thing and basically chucking everything that came in the first one all for the sake of being different didn't really set well with me too, you know. And so, and I think it's a legitimate beef on some points. I know some people like will defend that movie to the death because it was different, but yeah. It's like, just because it's different doesn't necessarily make it good.
Oh, I agree with that. Okay. My argument, and it's a slight one, would be that his argument is, haha, I'm not being different to be different. It's let go of needing to be the same.
Sure.
You know, and there's a slight difference. That's my only defense of it. So,
like I said, no, there's things I love the whole thing, like I said, with Rey being, you know, nobody.
Democratizing the Force.
Yeah, because that's the... That's where Rise of Skywalker kind of officially lost me. It's like, I'm still here, I'm still watching, I'm still enjoying it, but no. There's a lot of, ooh, oh, what are you doing? Ooh, mm-hmm. Oh, what? No! Ooh,
do you think there was any of this with the first three? Like the originals?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Could be. Well, you know, like...
Well, I mean, like, between, you know, from A New Hope to Empire to Return of the Jedi. By the time they get to the Return of the Jedi, are the fanboys of that sitting around doing this?
Probably.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, probably. You know, but there just wasn't a...
Worse fashion and bigger hair.
sounding boards for it. Yeah. You know, or echo chambers for it.
And you couldn't harass Mark Hamill directly.
Because I remember when I first saw Empire and with revelation that Vader was Luke's father, I was like, bullshit. That's bullshit. He's lying, you know. Uh-huh. And for 3 years, and then, oh, I guess he is.
I guess so.
And Luke was his, or Leia was his sister. But anyway, uh-huh. So I think there probably was. Yeah, and so I was laughing too. It's like everybody's bitching about Force Awakens. Was Abrams' love letter to Lucas,
mm-hmm.
the way Super 8 was his love letter to Spielberg. So I guess this is his love letter to Richard Mark 1, because all the Nas the Jedi in this, it was like, come on, dude. Really? The Death Star was atomized, and there's this huge chunk. What? This is the Calvin Star Wars timeline. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, Mike, it's J.J. Abrams. Remember that scene in the Death Star? I mean, there's a little room off to the side with a bunch of stuff in it. It would have been cool to see. Oh, well.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but the plot of this movie was they had to find a thing.
A knife. To find a
to
planet.
To find another thing.
To find the Emperor.
To find the Emperor.
To find the planet. Right.
They had to find the Sith
planet.
Okay, right. So the opening crawl says, Palpatine's talking to people. What? How did this movie start? God, I only saw it like 48 hours ago.
No, it started basically because Ren finds the other.
That's right. MacGuffin. That's right. He finds a MacGuffin to take him to the planet.
Why
the
he knew? Because I don't know if Palpatine talked to him or whatever, and said, "Come here, kid." And like, okay. Oh yeah, I love to Snoke in a jar. What?
Yeah.
What?
You know, at some point, I'm positive somebody in Hollywood is three or four shots deep into a long night right now saying, I had a great idea for what that was going to be. Shot. Snoke was going to be in great. Shot. You know,
happening
somewhere
in LA. All along? Okay, fine.
Palpatine's behind it all.
Right. Basically. And so, yeah, so they set this whole thing in motion. So Palpatine's got a bunch of Death Stars that are all, like, each individual Star Destroyers.
Yeah, Death Star strapped to a Star Destroyer.
Right, so like I said,
now they can actually kill a planet, whereas before they needed the Death Star to do that. But now these little ships can do that.
Right.
I say little ships.
But they can't navigate off the planet. They have to have a beacon. They have to have a MacGuffin destroy the MacGuffin.
God.
So, yeah, I can't wait for the prequel sequel to this where they have to explain the Emperor's once more sabotaging themselves into getting... Anyway.
Maybe this isn't a compliment, but it really did feel like he was playing with toys. It's like, they got to destroy that. No, now they got to destroy that. They got horsies.
Which was fine, you know, but it's one of the things, too. And it's like... Okay, so you threw Rose under the bus, but then we're going to introduce a bunch of other characters that we have no idea who these people are, really?
Oh, you know, like the like a what's her face on the with Babu Frick, you know, on that planet.
I'm gonna make an upset.
Where the hell she got? Why do we care about her and Finn? I know nothing about Finn's backstory. Finn, Poe.
Yeah.
If you all start dissing on Babu Frick, I will fight you.
I will not.
I love that guy.
I need that guy in my pocket.
Babu Frick was the best.
Or her. It was voiced by a woman.
Oh, was it? Cool.
It was voiced by the woman who played Moaning Myrtle in the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, cool.
Forgive me. Which one was Babu Frick?
Babu Frick
the little
was...
tiny guy fixing C-3PO.
Oh! Yeah, that's funny. He was like, hello!
It was the best. Babu Frick is my favorite.
My memory is horrible. It's like, the dude, that guy. You know that one.
Babu Frick.
I did like evil C-3PO there. For
that was funny. I want to see Babu Frick and Baby Yoda on a
road
trip movie.
Yeah. So it's one of these things. It's like I'm kind of enjoying this, but the movie was just in such a high gear. It's like slow down.
Yeah, it hit the ground running and did not stop for a second. And I remember there was a scene at one point. God, what was it? I forget, but I think Finn had a moment where he got to stop for a second, and have like a character beat, and I was like, oh my god, a character beat! It was like Andy Dufresne in the Rain, you know? It's like, the character beat! It's what I've been wanting this whole time. You know, just because you've got these great actors and they could be great characters if you would just take a friggin' breath and develop them for a second.
Such great chemistry with all three of them, you know? Yeah. And that was one of the things, too, that the second one kind of, it's like, you get great chemistry between these three, and then let's just throw them to the winds.
Yeah, that was
And I know
that
that's what they
mistake.
Did in Empire, but again, why do we have to repeat?
Yeah, especially in a movie that's trying so hard not to repeat
right.
and they tell us it's not repeating.
Right.
I like the way they handled Princess Leia's death.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Carrie Fisher.
Mm-hmm. So,
but I'm sorry.
No, go.
But when the Chewbacca lost it, when he found out, I did too. That's
got
where
me.
I lost it.
That got me.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
Okay,
and by the way,
that bullshit where he
pretending to pretending to kill Chewbacca. Fuck you, Abrams. Come on.
I don't know. I still went. No.
What?
All I
can
say was like, wait a minute. The trailer. He's in the trailer anyway.
And he looks weird without his bantle.
I know.
He really does look like a walking carpet.
It's like the Wookiee's naked.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, there's Uncle Itchy in the corner.
No, no.
Oh, by the way, here's a quarter that'll get you onto the Star Destroyer for free.
What? So many bad ideas.
We gotta infiltrate again? Okay. You land on the deck and two stormtroopers run out and they blast them. It's like why did she do her mind trick on all of them? Anyway.
They're so... I know. They just...
It's one of the things, like I said, I think that's one of the reasons why it was at such a breakneck pace, so you couldn't think about what just happened because... Huh?
Yep. So, if you're Disney, let me ask you a question. Why wouldn't you just write all three movies? Why would you leave it to chance that... You didn't know where you were going with this. Why wouldn't Kathleen Kennedy? Why wouldn't you say, "Hey, give me a 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
and give me scripts for 1 and 2, so we can write 3 as 1 is being produced, so we know where the hell we're going."
Right.
You know, it doesn't seem that hard.
And there should have been like at least one consulting screenwriter or one voice of authority to say no.
Right.
We have to, you know, this is what's your end point? Because I don't think they really had an end point.
No, I don't think they did either.
And so it's one of these things, too. It's like this third one. Boy, I feel like they're making this shit up as they went.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think they were.
I think they were.
Because, you know, they had this plan with all this, and then, of course, it all falls apart, and Trevorrow gets canned, and then, okay, JJ, you gonna bail us out? I suppose. And it shows.
Yeah, and it shows. It's like, well, as long as I can, you know, glean onto every single thing I can possibly glean onto from the original series.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it struck me about a quarter of the way through that this movie wouldn't exist. It's like, what would, if you'd never seen a Star Wars movie and this is your first one?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
you would be...
So you say, because like, there are so many moments that have emotional impact, but a lot of it was the musical cues.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there's a scene where she goes to the destroyed throne room, and you get that Emperor Palpatine theme underneath it, you know, and it's really slow, and it's like, oh wow, and it's like, but again, it's the music, and it's the old music,
mm-hmm.
because I think John Williams has done some good tunes for this first and second one. Like, the race theme is great.
Race theme is great.
But this third one, it's like, I couldn't tell you a single tune except for the callbacks.
Yep.
For the score for this one.
Yeah.
And so...
All right.
I was like, what? He was like, what are you doing? So, yeah.
Well, the good news slash bad news is that this one didn't do as well as they were thinking, even though it made 170...
Well, it was up against Cats. I'm sorry. Oh. You know.
Bravo. Bravo.
I'm sure, you know, I'm sure someone at Disney's thanking God Cats open this weekend, too.
You know,
because I think it's taking some of the heat off from the, you know, but still it made
it. But who at Cats thought, I'll release it this weekend?
Counter-programming.
Well, I think that's probably the same thing, too. It's like, oh, this is a piece of shit. Just put it out against Star Wars, it'll fade away, and no one will talk about it. And so, but then everybody's like, oh my god, we can meme the shit out of this. I read somewhere, sorry, we're getting off track with Cats.
No, this
but
is good.
Someone said, like, there were so many, like, technical glitches that they're actually doing, like, they're going to release a Cats 2.0.
I saw that. they were basically sending theaters a patch.
The patch! They were patching it. They're patching the movie because there's too many scenes where, like, they forgot to put the cat costume on that guy, you know? So there's, like, one scene... they forgot to put, you know? And, like, none of that apparently was mo-capped.
No, I understand it all was mocap.
No, apparently none of it was mocap. So it was basically everybody running around and then these poor artists trying to
paint
over the top of it. Yeah, that's maybe I could be wrong on that, but I've just
seen everybody in green outfits at one point. You know, like James Corden, I remember seeing a picture of him in this giant fat cat outfit.
Well, that's not mocap.
That's not mocap, though.
Yeah, that's just the dots all
Yeah, over. And yeah. so that's just, no, oh, that's just Lord. Like trying to paint over everything that's green.
The thing I did you read the Times, or was it the Times or the, oh, I forget what UK publication it was, but they wrote their review in rhyme. And it was
the Independent?
Yeah, it might have been. I don't know, but some of it was very, very good. Anyway, I had to really fight to get work done that day instead of just reading negative Cats reviews all damn day because that's what I wanted
to do.
Those
reviews I can read, but I had to avoid reviews and spoilers until Saturday when I could see it because reviews ruin it things for me.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm too easily influenced.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I've got to push ahead and see it because I don't want it.
My favorite Cats one real quick and then I'll shut up is after seeing this I'm not a cat person. After seeing this I'm not sure I'm a movie person. Okay, I'm done. That's it. Okay.
I have a question.
Back to Star Wars.
I have questions about this movie.
Hit it.
Okay, because this is where my brain went at the end, you know, with Ben's redemption. And what do you think of Harrison Ford showing up?
I was surprised.
So was I.
Because I didn't think he was ever going to play Han Solo again.
I thought he was done.
I was surprised, and he acted the hell out of that scene.
Yeah.
Which it's always good. No. Harrison Ford is always good when he tries.
Yeah. I know he loves Adam Driver.
Yeah. So. All in all, I'm fine with the scene. I mean, I was happy to see him.
He's listed as uncredited.
Huh. I just wish that, again, the character had been... There was some hint. Because the only thing, the only hint we get is that where he almost not stabs his dad in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, no, I think he was going to do that all along. So, like, you don't see... It's like, that was my biggest problem with the prequels. Is like, at no point did I see anything from Anakin.
Yeah.
That showed what Vader did at the end of Jedi.
Right.
And
it was a very abrupt
turn. And then, two, with Palpatine not being dead, it's like that kind of destroys that whole ending of Vader's sacrifice.
It does.
It's like all in service of this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what? Who's in charge of this?
that did drive me nuts, the idea that... And I was hoping maybe Palpatine, maybe somebody was using Palpatine as a beard, somebody was... You know, maybe it wasn't the actual...
Plagueis Sidious thing that I keep hearing about all the time.
No, it was Darth Vader's sacrifice didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Even though he killed himself to save his kid.
That's a total Ryan Johnson thing. We're subverting your expectations. It doesn't matter what happened before.
Something that shaped my morality for years and years, you know?
Right.
I mean, like fundamental to who I am is like Vader throwing the Emperor off that thing.
Right.
But, fuck you.
Then Leia dies, but she doesn't disappear. Okay, and then Ben turns to the light side.
This is interesting.
This is, and he goes through his whole thing, and he does a thing. He goes to the Palpatine's planet, and him and Rey essentially save each other.
Right.
And it got to the point where they kiss, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. But then he does this little weird little giggle thing, and then he, because because I was telling you about the nerds I was with watching this.
Yeah.
Half the nerds, like one nerd had seen it, the other nerds hadn't seen it. I'm a nerd too, sorry, this sounds horrible, but this is, but everybody's like, what? And everybody's freaking out over that, and the other guy's just like, wait for it! And then, and then Kylo Ren, of course, passes on after he gives his life force to bring Rey back.
Right.
And when he disappears, Leia disappears. And I was, in my brain, now wait a minute, was that Leia
controlling
him the whole time? Mm. Or was that, or was she just like, come on, kid.
She just really want to kiss Rey.
See? And then it's like, is that what, and that was like, that's where my brain went. It's like, what just happened?
I see her, see Carrie, I see Princess Leia as a overbearing, you know, Jewish mother. It's like, when are you going to get a girlfriend? I'm ruling the galaxy, Mom. When are you going to get a girlfriend? Yeah. I'll force get you. I'll force you to get a girlfriend.
Right. So it's like, this is like, where's her, it's like, they should have been like a force ghost of her pushing, either like encouraging him, encouraging him along. Otherwise, it's like, is she like,
no, kiss a girl. Mom!
It's like, it was her the whole time? It's, I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Help me, J.J. Abrams. Help me. What are you doing?
And well, I can start the... Did you see the interview where he said, I can start things, I'm not real good at fixing?
And also, what did Finn want to tell Rey?
That she was Palpatine? I don't know.
I think he wanted to tell her that he's Force sensitive, because they kind of... I think all the troopers that went rebellious, I think they're all tuned in. I think, but again... Completely dead in the vine.
Okay.
I
had had something spoiled for me.
Because I thought it was like a crush. Yeah. I thought he had a crush on her.
I had heard that there was a same-sex kiss in this movie.
Right.
There was
at the very end, blink and you miss it, between two characters who, you know, are double digits on the call sheet.
I heard the greatest thing today about it. Disney is a passive progressive.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Passive progressive. But anyway, I was thinking maybe
passive progressive. Yeah. It's like you say one thing but then you really don't do. It's like passive aggressive.
I was thinking maybe Poe and Finn were going to kiss, and that's what he was going to tell Rey, which is why he wouldn't say the same thing in front of Poe.
Yeah.
And
Oscar Isaac is all about Finn Poe.
Yeah.
You know what? I would have been there for it, man.
Yeah, me too.
I would have been there for
it. God, yeah.
Why not?
And
I ship it.
And how pissed off would that have made the Star Wars bros, you know? Oh, my God, that would have been the best turn, you know? It would have been this giant middle finger, but... And I thought that's what they were setting up, and I think what you're saying, Chad, is that nobody knew what they were setting up. No one knew what they were foreshadowing.
That too. Like this film felt like they were still editing it the night of the premiere.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oops, we kind of left that out. Oops. Oops. And or, you know, the resolution of whatever the hell they're talking is, like, to me, it's like, I think that's what he wanted to tell her. It's like, I think I'm force sensitive, because he was starting to feel shit there too at the end. And so, but
all right.
Movie.
So here's what I want to touch on.
This movie makes me nuts.
Yeah. Where do you want to see the Star Wars movies go from here? Then we'll take a break and talk about The Mandalorian real quick, because we're 7 episodes in at the time of this recording. So where do you want to see them go? Because
we're done. I thought
no, there's one more episode of The Mandalorian.
No. I mean of Star Wars.
I don't know. Disney has no further plans at this point, although there's rumors that Rian Johnson is going to do his own trilogy. I wouldn't count on that.
I heard that was canceled.
I think with the success of The Mandalorian and going off and doing other adventures in the Star Wars universe, I think it could fly.
Yeah. And then the other thing was that the people who did Game of Thrones were supposed to do a series, and then Disney politely said... watch season 8 and said, no, thank you. You can just go over here now.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think if they do it, it's going to be extremely scaled back to like Mandalorian levels. Which is fine too.
I don't need every spaceship I've ever seen or conceived of on screen at the same time in a shot that costs $10 million. Right. I don't need that.
Right.
You know, it's fun. It's nice when you play the music really loud, but oh God. Okay. Well, what my hope is, they just get away from the friggin' Jedi. Or the Skywalkers, or the, you know, Sith, or whatever they call them anymore, and just, like, get away from that and show me some crazy cool weird stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get weird with it.
Cantina bands around.
There you go. Da, da, da,
da, da, da, da. Maybe they can all get together. They can be a band of traveling musicians. They get together. All of a sudden, there's a giant scene where there's pressure to play something, and they're like, I've got it.
Okay, I got one more beef. Okay, so they go to Endor, right? Because that's where the Death Star is. And it goes. Did you notice they went all Goonies with the knife to find where the
Yes.
So that made me laugh. I was like,
I'm sorry. I've got so many questions about that. How do you know where to stand? This thing shifts around. That in and of itself is exceptionally dumb.
Don't think about it. Can't think about it. That's why it's so fast. It's like everything's going at 90 mile an hour. You're like, what? Anyway, but
what if you don't find the little thing on
the
handle?
You go back to the forest moon of Endor there. And I know they had a little cameo there at the end, but how the fuck do you not show any Ewoks?
They did.
It did with the little drive-by cameo at the end.
At their num-nums.
At the num-nums, like the num-nums, and I thought they were going to num-num again.
They were before that, too.
Where?
Weren't they?
No!
And then when the ships were blowing up in the sky, all the...
Yes! That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the Ewoks showed up at the end, but when they first go to Endor to do the Goonies scene, it's like there's no Ewoks to be found anywhere. And I was like, what is going on?
They're hiding.
That's elusive creatures. And I'm sure, you know, poor Dennis Dawson coming back as Wedge Antilles there.
Oh, yeah. It was nice to see him.
2 seconds!
It was nice to see him.
Nice flying, Lando! And that's it. And like,
Still looks really good. He could have been
I liked seeing Dom Monaghan.
Yeah, yep. Monaghan was nice to see him.
I mean, he's very recognizable as a hobbit, but... I saw his lost alum,
wasn't it?
Yeah. He was Charlie.
Yep.
But he
a lot of Abram alums in this movie.
Mm-hmm. He was at the premiere and he was Instagramming it and stuff and saying it was a lifelong dream to be into Star Wars. So I thought that was sweet.
Cool. I like that dude.
I actually like the cavalry charge on the Star Destroyer. I really did.
Yeah, me too.
You know, as far as
that was very endgame.
I liked it, and to me, it's like the first part of it. It was like scattershot and going way too fast, but to me, it was like I was like flashing back to the old Marvel comics from the 70s. Where it was just like Luke, Han, and Leia and Chewie on the Falcon going from planet to planet on these crazy adventures, and the Empire almost caught him, and the last panel would be the Falcon flying off and Vader on the ground going, "Curse you, Skywalker, I'll catch you someday," you know? And so that's kind of the vibe I was getting from it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of digging that, but...
What did you think about the scene with young Luke and young Leia force training?
I thought it was cute.
I thought it was just enough.
It's fine.
Yeah, it was fine. And they were on Dagobah, which why wouldn't they go back to Dagobah? They could force training on the
Millennium. Was that Endor?
Was it Endor?
It might have been Endor.
I don't think they could be on Dagobah because Luke hadn't been there until he was an adult. Right?
Well, I think this was after the Battle of Endor.
Was that?
She was doing her training. Yeah.
Because Leia had a lightsaber.
Because Leia didn't realize she was the sister in a Jedi.
Yeah.
Until Jedi, right?
And then Rey's got a yellow lightsaber and we get the John Williams music.
At that point, it's like, just stop.
Stop.
Oh, she's gonna look at the two sons, and then she's like, oh,
yeah,
Jesus
Christ. All right.
Just too bad, because like, I like that character. I love that character.
Rey is a great character.
She deserved better.
Sloth love Rey.
Sloth love Poe. Sloth love Finn. Sloth love Kylo Ren. They were all great in moments of the series, man.
Yeah.
No, like I said, they were game, and they just weren't. Just
Adam Driver's a national treasure. Have you watched Marriage Story?
I don't want to watch a story about two white people screaming at each other for 2 hours.
That's not what it is.
But that's what it looks like, and it's just off-putting to me.
I think it's pretty good, considering the giant clusterfuck it was in the planning stages, the execution stages,
the writing stages, the pre-production stages,
and I kind of feel a little bit of sympathy for this guy because basically, you know, I wasn't supposed to do this, and I basically have to come in and clean up the mess, you know. And again, it's like, why wasn't this set out from the beginning?
Yeah,
I don't, you know, what are you doing? That's the big question that I have. Is like, if they're gonna do anything, it's like,
The Star Wars
Disney branch needs to get their shit together and get their act in order. And didn't I hear somewhere like Feige was going to do a Star Wars movie, or am I crazy?
I think Feige's got his plate full and then more full and then fuller.
Or maybe they asked him and he was like, no, I don't know, but I seem to recall
Have you
reading
seen
that
the movies I'm producing?
Right, so. No, I think let it cool off for a bit before you
enjoy
try
the Mandalorian.
Before you try to do anything else and just...
Yep.
Or do another TV or do another streaming series or something.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're going to come back in a little bit after a word from our podcast network and talk about The Mandalorian, which I think we all like.
Guitar noise.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal, providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.
And we're back, and we're going to talk just real quick about The Mandalorian, get some recommendations, and get out of here. So, real quick, we've all watched up to episode 7 of The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. Man, I loved it! It's so good! I almost just coming off a conversation where we're like, oh, Disney, oh, giant corporate synergy, oh, bullshit, oh my god, this show is great.
Why? Jon Favreau's in charge of the whole thing, that's why.
And he can say no to bad ideas.
Yep.
Oh, man, it's fun.
It's just so gentle.
Yeah.
But I did think, okay, I live for Baby Not Yoda. Okay, I just live for this.
I love it.
Pre-ordered an 11-inch plushie Baby Yoda because I saw a tweet about it. And it's coming out in February. And I bought it.
Yeah. My kid, we all love Baby Yoda. My youngest loves the blurgs.
The blurgs are great.
Basically, the giant semicolons with feet, or commas with feet.
Yeah.
You know, I think someone was creating a Star Wars font and didn't have a comma. It's like, oh, let's just put eyes and feet on a comma.
Yeah.
It's not a dude back, but
plus they have a great name. But am I watching The Mandalorian for the story, or am I watching for Baby Not Yoda?
I'd say both. I
really find myself just like my anxiety goes down. My heart feels grinchy and wrong.
Episode where he starts flying the ship, he starts screwing around.
That's because his little head came down the hole to look and see that they were busy.
I know.
And then he went back up and he's like, nah, it's mine.
So what you're saying is for you it's Star Wars SMR?
Yeah, it is.
Boom.
It totally, and with the radio, the looking yep. straight at him yeah. and flipping the switch. Oh, I fucking love that little thing.
No, I love all the characters we've been introduced so far. I really
love the kick-ass chick.
Kara, the fighter.
Kara,
yes,
yeah.
Carla Gugino.
And I love the Ugnaught.
Carano. Yes, the Ugnaught. Nick Nolte is the...
I have spoken. I love that.
He's very good.
I wish I could end all my conversations like that.
And we're where his backstory is slowly coming out. I just love how it's like, I was servitude. I paid my way out.
Yep.
You know?
Plus that one episode that had that one moment where he's like fighting the battle and all of the rest of
the Mandalorians
show up in their jetpacks and they're just like, and I was like,
I love the episode too where the Jawas get like destroy his ship and the Jawas are fucking with him and they're making him go get the egg. That was good. I love
being able to see more of the Jawas because they've always been this like little elusive creature.
Can I throw something else out there too? Pedro Pascal is doing a really good job with a really hard role where he's got to be he's got to act entirely with his voice, entirely with his body, which is covered in giant plastic, armor. And he's doing great, man. I feel like I know the guy without ever seeing his face or much of anything about him.
Them arm wrestling.
Yep.
And, that was awesome.
And Mando had to do a double take in the helmet. I was just losing it. Friend.
Yep.
Oh my god, that was so good.
Yep.
So good.
That was good.
So much. When's the next one out?
27th.
It's really hard, too.
After Christmas. And it's the last
because
one.
Yeah.
You talk about, playing with the toys in the universe or whatever. Last night when they're trapped in the bar, and that Imperial troop transport comes in. It's like I had that toy when I was a kid. You hadn't seen that anywhere in the Star Wars at all, anywhere.
Really?
Until then.
Oh, how cool!
It was like an expanded universe toy or whatever.
What a neat idea!
And so I was like, crap! It's like a little monkey, And so I was like, I had that. And so,
you know what else I love about it is they're taking tried and true stories that I've seen 100 times and slapping Star Wars on them, and I still love them. The Seven Samurai one was fine.
I was talking to a friend of mine about the show, and it's like, you know what reminds me of the most? it reminds me of the old Battlestar Galactica TV show, because that's basically what they did for the whole season, huh, was steal movie plots and stick the guys into them, because that's basically what it is, which is fine. You know, like I said, this is the baby cart, Lone Wolf and Cub. This is, you know, Magnus is Seven, and it's just, and it's a ball, and it's a good time.
I love it.
And so, and I'm invested.
Yes, and I'm invested. It's amazing what a big-eyed, doughy creature can do, you know? It's like, I love Baby Yoda.
I read somewhere, too, and it's like, somewhere George Lucas is in a bar, nursing his beer, red in the face, and grumbling, a puppet. A goddamn puppet.
Yes.
But that puppet was almost CGI.
Yeah, man, Werner Herzog was really... I'm sad they dispatched him in Episode 7, I love...
Other guy's coming in, so that's good, too.
Giancarlo Esposito. Yeah. But I had fun telling the girls Werner Herzog stories in Werner Herzog's voice. Yeah. One time, they threatened me with a gun deep in the jungle to leave my set, and I said, you will have to shoot me to leave this movie. And then Klaus Kinski came back and made another movie with me. And Emily's like, is that true? I'm like, yeah, that's true. He threatened to shoot him in the face, and they made another movie together. It's called Fitzcarraldo, and it's amazing. Anyway, Mandalorian, big thumbs up. Can't wait for the last episode, and then we'll mourn it's not being there. It's been great. One last thing I want to touch on. My God, they're partitioning it out instead of binging. I know, Steph, you love binging, but has it been okay that they're partitioning
it out? I have actually kind of come around on it, because the show I'm going to talk about, my rewatch, was bingeable, and I watched it in the entire weekend, or I watched the entire show this weekend, and now I have nothing.
Okay.
I have nothing, and the show just premiered, so it's not going to be out for like another year.
It's like finishing a good book. Yeah.
Well, I came in late. I think I watched, the first three episodes. I binged them, but then it was waiting. It is fine.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a little time to sink in. Because I think we talked about this before.
For Baby Yoda merch.
Because there's some shows that I binged. I couldn't tell you what happened. Couldn't tell you the characters, what their names are. Couldn't tell you. And one in or out the other. And mostly I think it's just I'm getting old and my brain has turned to mush. But, you know, that happens.
It's still got room for something of quality like The Mandalorian. Yeah. And, you know, oh my God, there are 100 different shows they could do like that, too. You know, just get a good person on there who can say yes or no and spend the money and... Man, I would watch a Star Wars show.
The show's patient.
Yeah, the show's patient.
I wouldn't call The Rise of Skywalker patient.
No. No.
So.
Anyway, I love The Mandalorian. Yeah. So, all right, well, we're going to dive into some recommendations, the things we're watching, we're seeing, we're paying attention to in this two-weekish period. Steph, you were just alluding to something you would watch. What did you watch?
The Witcher.
God, I root for Henry Cavill.
Me too.
I root for that dude.
Him and Armie Hammer.
Desperately wanted to play Geralt of Rivia. He was a big fan. Played the video games, read the books, etc.
I'm sorry, that dude, I can't picture him playing a video game. I can just picture him, like, jogging, lifting weights, and not eating bread. Like, that must be, like, his entire
life. That's
his life,
yeah.
It's like, I've never...
Another bit of trivia I read was that he wears out his costumes because he's so ripped. They have to keep making new ones.
That dude is ridiculous. And he's smart great, and
like,
clever.
He's like great man Runkle too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm interrupting. Tell me about The Witcher. Yeah.
Well, I have to say I went into it cold. I knew nothing about The Witcher. I never played the games, never read the books. Never even heard of it till I started seeing trailers on Netflix for this show. And I'm like, huh, he looks hot. I think I might give it a shot. Plus it's kind of high fantasy, and with all of us kind of getting into D&D and everything, I thought, oh, it'd be interesting. And I watched the first episode, and it made no sense whatsoever. None. So I'm like, I'm going to keep up with it, because if nothing else, Henry Cavill for 8 hours, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do
so it. I can deal with that. That's my speed. But it started to make more sense, because apparently there's wonky timelines and different characters, and there's witches and stuff like this. And as I'm watching it, my daughter is DMing. More.
Yes.
She's like a novice DMer, but she's
pretty
good at it.
Yeah.
And she loves it.
Yeah.
And I thought this would be the perfect show for her to watch, because in the second episode, The Witcher picks up a bard, you know, and there are dwarves, and there are mages, and there are wizards, and kings, and queens, and the whole nine yard of weird creatures and stuff like that. It's just like, it's D&D and Skyrim and everything come to life, and I think it would be perfect for my daughter to watch. So get on it, Shan. And I really liked it by the end. It took me a while, and I had to do some Wikipedia-ing to make sense of some stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're going into it as a fan, I think it's really good. Really good.
Cool. Cool. And Cavill's good in it?
He's so good.
He's so dreamy.
He really is. And I don't really know him that much. Sure. I've not seen his... I've seen, like, one of his Superman... Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big Superman person.
He's not the problem.
No. Yeah, I know that.
Did you
I
see
know.
Man from Uncle?
No.
Oh, we need to do that. We need to do that soon. That's good. Yeah, that's a good one. The
got him and Armie Hammer in it.
The other, he did an interview with Men's Health where he said he's not letting Superman go without a fight, and I'm like, you go get it, man.
Deserved,
you know what?
He's
go
the other
get
guy
it.
Deserve better. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So
they're
gonna
earn that theme.
Yep.
Someday they're gonna earn that theme song.
But he, like, purposely deepens his voice to be this character. I mean, he, like, becomes this character. And it's because he cared passionately about it going into it. So he treats it with respect and love. And it's just, it shows.
He's just a freaking human Adonis. I'm sorry. I know. Oh, my God.
God.
I'm a very straight man, despite my voice. And, oh, my God, that dude. I'm sorry. There's not a lot of things that make me turn gay. But, oh, jeez. Anyway.
Yowza.
All right.
Yeah.
Chad, what do you got?
I got a movie. I got two movies. Or I got a movie, I got a doc, and I got some YouTube stuff.
Okay.
The movie is Starfish. Have you seen this?
Starfish, no.
Starfish. It's relatively new. It's first time writer-director. I wrote it down, but I grabbed the wrong piece of paper, so forgive me. Check your IMDb. But basically, it's one of those movies that's like, I'm not really sure what I just watched. But I think it's metaphorical for going through the stages of grief when you lose someone really close to you.
Eight stages,
and,
eight arms on a starfish.
No, yeah. but it's done as an alien invasion.
Huh.
And this gal, like I said, her friend dies. She goes to the funeral. She goes to the friend's apartment, and there's like these mixtapes, and she has to find these mixtapes because there's a signal in the mixtapes because there's a breach. Dimensional breach, and monsters are coming through and taking over the world. And so, like I said, she's kind of working through this whole thing, and the ending is like, either this happened or this happened, but I'm not sure. Again, it's one of those things where you kind of almost have to check the Wikipedia page or what does the ending mean of this, you know, to kind of get what, you know, but it's open to your own interpretation. But it kind of blew my brain a little bit. Streaming on Hulu, I really liked it. The doc is The Biggest Little Farm, which was great. Have you seen this? This is about a family, the Chesters, doing the apricot lane farms in California, and they're basically trying to do it organically. And so and the thing that I liked about it, it's not one of these magical, you know, within one season, we got this whole thing working. The documentary takes place of like over 7 years.
Wow.
And it does not go well for like the first five or six until they finally find the balance that they were looking for to make this thing work. And it's kind of delightful, and these people are wonderful, and what they're trying to do, I admire them for it, and I hope it all works out for them. And so it's really good. Highly recommend. I think I rented that on Amazon. And
what's it called?
The Biggest Little Farm.
The Biggest Little Farm.
The Biggest Little Farm. And it's relatively new. And my recs are from YouTube. I've been finding old TV shows on there, mainly Petrocelli, Longstreet, and Name of the Game. These are late 60s, early 70s. Because to me, sometimes I really miss that kind of episodic TV where it's like one and done. Mm-hmm. You know, you got one, you know, this like one's like a lawyer trial show, the other one's an insurance investigator, and the other one are these reporters. So it's just like, you know, story of the week, bing, bang, boom. And you can take it as they come, and you don't have to like try to remember through the whole through line or whatever. Because there are so many shows that I would like to watch, but I just can't, don't know if I want to make the commitment of, you know, 20 hours of four seasons of of this, especially if it doesn't work out. But so I've been really enjoying those. So, and there you go.
Cool. I've got two things I did. One of them, I read a couple horror books and didn't really like either of them. So I'm going to recommend one book I did read, which is John Hodgman's Medallion Status that just came out. If you know Hodgman, you kind of know what you're getting into, which is kind of that purposefully smarter than he thinks he is, or not as smart as he thinks he is, you know, boob kind of thing. But it's kind of a memoir about a time in his life when things started not going very well, and he put his sights on getting a certain number of airline miles so he could get a certain status, because he flew around a lot. This was like when he was shooting those Apple ads and had to be on a plane every, you know, 2-3 times a week, whatever it was. And it's just kind of a sweet little call from, you know, call back at a younger self, like a guy further down the line, you know, yelling, saying, here's what I did that may not have worked. See if you can avoid some of those pitfalls that I made, that one and that one and that one. It's Hodgman, and Hodgman is good, I think.
I was thinking about that the other day, and it's like, you know what? I think if I met myself in high school, I'd hate myself in high school.
Oh, me too. I'd probably beat
the crap
out of
him. Oh, geez.
Yes, I was a little shit, and not only that, but my God, if the internet... Oh, God.
Let's talk to somebody. It's like, you would have hated me in high school.
I'm so glad the internet is around. Oh, man. I would have been canceled so many times.
I would have canceled myself.
No, but yeah, it's very sweet. And I enjoyed it more than the other things I read. Which would remain nameless, and
you would not recommend.
Yeah, the other thing I put together on Spotify a writing playlist. I'm in the middle of a book, and I've got momentum, guys. I'm going somewhere,
yes!
And finally, and I ended up ditching most of it and just listening to the 28 Days Later soundtrack over and over and over again, because oh my God, it's atmospheric and good, and I just found like that old soundtrack that was exactly what I wanted. And just am writing it, and it's like, and it's a horse, and it's taking me a long ways, and it's great anyway. So that's not really a recommendation so much as a hey, listen to one on, but yeah, it's good. So anyway, we got going on.
I got one last thing.
Oh, hit us.
Okay, I do the Reddit Secret Santa every year.
Yes.
And my Secret Santa today sent me presents that she. I'm assuming it's a she. I saw her username and it had girl in it, so we'll say she. But anyway, she told me in the thank you note, or the here's your present notes from Amazon, that she listened to the Atomic Weight of Cheese and got her ideas for the presents, apart from the cats.
A listener!
Hey! A listener! So I just want to say, if she's listening, thank you so much. I loved everything. My cats love the boomstick. It's great. Thank you. That's it.
All right, well, hey, listeners, we're coming. What? Back. We're coming back in 2020. That's all the encouragement I need.
Shout out to who? Shout out to?
I don't know. Girl. I can't. Label girl. Sorry. I think LBL girl. I think is what it was.
You know who you are. Thank you.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. And if you want to, we lost Chad. If you want to take us to task on our Star Wars takes, go ahead.
I didn't hate it.
Please do, but I'm not moderating it, so please be nice.
We really like The Mandalorian. Does that help? And we will be back in 2020 with new episodes. We got plans. We'll talk to you soon. You've been listening to The Atomic Weight of Cheese, where cult cinema is real life and real life is frequently cult cinema. You can visit our website at theatomicweightofcheese.com, follow us on Twitter at @AWOCpodcast, see us on Facebook at facebook.com/atomicweightofcheese, or shoot us an email at atomicweightofcheese@gmail.com. We love your feedback. We'll be right back.